We are wrapping up our series called Open Up. We've been doing a four-week series about, even though there are lots of ways that we may be restricted, there are way more ways that we can open up. And so we talked about how we are to open up our hearts, and we're to we are to confess to one another when we're struggling. We're to confess to one another when we're not checking all the boxes and we feel weak and we feel like we're letting people down, we're letting ourselves down, we're letting God down. And so we come together and we confess, and in our moment of humility, in our moment of weakness, we actually find strength. And confession may be one of the hardest things we do as Christians, but it also is one of the most rewarding things that we can do as Christians. And then we moved into open lives and how we're to share our story, and we're supposed to give God the praise and give God the glory when he's doing good things, and we're to share it with everybody, because when we testify to the goodness of God and we testify to what God has been doing in our life and what he has done in our life in the past, it opens the door for God to stop being the God of just the Bible and the God who interacts and is alive and working and real. The God who cares, the God who is close. He's not some far-off God who just created everything and set it in motion and walked away, but he's actually intimately interested in every detail of your life, and that's a good thing. That's an amazing thing, and it's something that we can testify about. And we talked about how all of this openness is inspired because God has been open with us. God has not hid his will from us. He has not hidden his love from us. In fact, he has revealed himself in such greatness and such grandeur through his word that it's not that he's holding anything back, it's that we are limited because we just can't comprehend the things of God to the fullness that he has shown it to us. God is an open God. God does not hide things from us. He wants to reveal things. It is just a matter of us going to him and learning from our Father and learning from the good teacher and allowing the Holy Spirit to impress things on our life. And so we've been doing this series called Opening Up. And this morning we're going to wrap up. And like I said, this is kind of a precursor heading into the AGM. Oh, before I go too much further, I'm going to announce the official One Church roster. So Redverse is tuned in. I wanted to wait for this moment. So everyone online, everyone on Redverse, everyone in house, here is the official One Church membership, and I want to thank everybody who participated and came out. I had a number in mind of how many members I was hoping would come out, and or how many people we'd end up with in the end. And we have more than exceeded my expectations. In fact, I wish I would have asked for more. That's kind of how it was. I asked God for a certain number. He passed it, and I'm like, okay, I should have asked God for more. When you have 24 people come out for a class and 20 of them respond, that is a good number. Those are high. Those are percentages I want in everything we do. Everything, you know, if we have that kind. Anyways, okay. So here is the official membership roster as presented to the congregation according to our constitution. So we have Blair and Deb Andrew, Jackie and Stephen Boyko, Jamie Brimner, John and Robin Brownlee, Robert and Sean Odaku, Jim Elliott, Tim Erickson, Darren Grimes, Brian and Lorna Kinnett, Clay and Mary Moffitt, Karen Olmsted, Clarence and Kim Wagner, and Clay Weens. So thank you, everybody. Welcome to the team. Now it's not just my fault, it's all your fault too. So here, we're all in this together. Oh, did I not mention that in the membership class? Oops. No, we're excited, and I anticipate this number growing. And in fact, of the people who didn't respond, we only had one person that said, you know what, after listening to everything, I just don't think membership is right for me at this time. Everybody else, the membership is half filled out on their computer. They just haven't hit send yet. Like, I know that because they've told me that, okay? I'm not just assuming things. I know that this is where things are at. But anyways, so back to the series. We're in Open Up. And this morning we're going to wrap up. And I want to ask you this question. When you think of the perfect world, what kinds of things come to mind? When you think of the perfect world, maybe it's the perfect society, the perfect community, you know, you think of utopia. When you think of that, What are the things that come to mind? Everyone online, YouTube, Facebook, throw a comment in there. Let us know what you think. What comes to mind? And of course, there have been a lot of movies and TV shows. As you've probably figured out, I'm a big movie buff. I like a good movie. I'll watch a bad movie, too, just for the laughs. But I like a good movie. And there are a plethora of media out there of people wrestling with this idea. What does the perfect world look like? What is a perfect society? What's the issue that needs to be solved in order for us to have this utopian experience when it comes to life? And it's interesting because every movie kind of goes like this. You go into the movie, you meet the main character, and everything is perfect and wonderful, and they're always happy, and you know, life just seems to be no wrong, and then they see something they're not supposed to. And they find out that it's not really perfect. It's all a facade. It's all made up, because behind the scenes, there's some really ugly stuff going on. It's not perfect. There's a big problem, and it's just the fact that not everybody knows about it. And it creates, when you watch enough of these movies and you watch this, you know, this angle and this problem, it starts to create this sense in us that maybe it's not possible. Maybe the perfect society, maybe even the ideal society or the ideal community isn't possible, because there's always something wrong. There's always something working in the background. And yet, if we're honest with ourselves, within us, there's this desire to find something. There's this desire to find this perfect community that we can belong to, we can be a part of. And I know that this longing comes from the Spirit of God within us. And this morning we're going to look at a passage in Acts chapter 2. If you got your Bible, you want to turn there on your app or however you want to go. And this is a passage that you're going to hear me talk about a lot, because every time I read it and every time I talk about it, I learn something new, and it just creates this sense of, I want that for you as the church. I want that for us as a community. I want these things to become real and active. I want us to be known for these things. I want us to be, when we talk about a healthy church, and that's something we're going to be talking about a lot at the AGM, this is what I picture. This is what I think God has in mind is a healthy church. And anyways, all that preamble. Hopefully you've found Acts 2 by now. If you don't, it's going to be on the screen. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, the other wording for that is every day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Another version says joyful and sincere hearts. And praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's so good, we're going to read it again. And I want you, as I read this, I want you, maybe, whatever you have to do to imagine what this would have been like. Maybe you need to close your eyes and put yourself in this situation, or just allow your imagination to capture what what Luke is describing as he talks about this early church. Think of, and then we'll unpack it. I'll share with you what I came up with. But just imagine what church would have been like under these circumstances. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. We're going to talk about that word awe a little bit. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, every day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here are some things that stand out to me as I read that passage, and I think Luke is trying to draw attention to us. Because the difficulty is, okay, so that was a couple thousand years ago. How does what we're reading here apply to today? And so here are the key points that I see. Number one, they wanted to be together. Day by day, every day, they were at the temple, they were in each other's houses. You don't go to someone else's house every single day if you don't want to be together. That is not a, I'm going to do this because I have to, because if I have to do it, I'm not going to do it. But I want to be together. I want to break bread with my fellow believers. I want to be at the temple or at the church and studying and praying. And they just loved gathering. And they were always together. And that's amazing. That's awesome. That they would have, in a lot of the cases, the only thing they had in common was their love of Christ and what God had accomplished in their hearts and their minds. And that applies today. A lot of us who come to church and call one church their home, the only thing we have in common is Christ. They wanted to be together. And so they were, and this is like every extrovert's dream and every introvert's nightmare, right? Like, I have to be with somebody every single day. But I just get the impression as Luke is unpacking this for us that they just, all that stuff didn't matter because they just love being together. And one of the things, I heard this in one of my prior churches that really broke my heart. I was talking to a gentleman who was in leadership at the church, and he said his approach to life was church was for the church people, and then life was for everybody else. He said, I don't want anything to do with church people outside of Sunday morning. This was a leader in our church. This was a board member who was like driving the direction of the church. And he comes up to me and says this. I was like, I don't like you on the board anymore. Like, that's not the, because there's a trickle-down effect, right? If that's in the heart of one of the leaders, it's going to trickle down into the church. And there's going to be this mindset that I'll hang out with people on Sunday if I have to. No, that's not what the church, like I said, Acts 2, they wanted to be together. Every day they found reasons to be together. The second thing, they were filled with awe in their soul. When you look at that word awe, it means reverence, fear, deep respect, normally towards God. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and we were reflecting on the history of the church. So as the PAOC, we come from what is called the Holiness Movement. And without unpacking that a whole lot, the Holiness Movement was basically, we are going to do everything in our power to run away from sin and draw as close to God as we possibly can. And over the course of the Holiness Movement, there were these moments where God's tangible presence would enter the room and amazing things would happen, but there was an awe of God that was in the hearts of everybody, whether it's the early church or every revival that has happened after the early church. There was this awe and reverence for God, the recognition that He is holy, He is sinless, He is all powerful. Yes, He is Father. Yes, He is Savior. Yes, Jesus is co-heir and brother. But He is still the God that we have to stand before one day. And for that reason, I want nothing to do with anything that is contrary to His word and His teaching. There was an awe. And as me and my buddy were reflecting, our hearts broke because we realized that we have lost the awe of God in a lot of our churches. And that was not a criticism of the people. That was actually a criticism of us as pastors. We as pastors have gotten so caught up with being relevant, with being cool and hip and having attractional, that a lot of us have started making decisions that are contrary to the awe and reverence and holiness of God. And so we have pastors that are doing things that we never would have done 10, 20 years ago. And when the pastor loses the awe and reverence and majesty of God Almighty, it's only a matter of time before the church does. But when we read the Acts 2, these believers, and remember, this passage is coming right after Peter stood up and preached this amazing message to everyone at Pentecost, and 3,000 people came to know the Lord that day. 3,000 people in one day. They said in the early church, because of this awe and reverence and the way that they did church, it was not unusual for some of the churches at the time to have 5,000 people attending. 5,000 people. Today, like the biggest church in the PAOC has, well, they have more than 5,000 people. They're huge. Like, but that's one church. But for them, it was like a regular thing that there would be a huge number of people that would be committed to this one church. And they said it's directly connected to our awe of God's majesty and his holiness and his power and the recognition that without God, we are nothing. Their souls were filled with the awe of God. Number three, signs and wonders were happening. In addition with the awe of God, when you have this awe of God's majesty and wonder and his reverence for who he is, and I talked about that there was this the tangible presence of God. They said that you could just feel it in the service when things changed. And it went from being a regular old worship service to like, and to use like some cliched language, God showed up. And you could feel it. There's like a heaviness in the room. And all of a sudden, the gifts of the Spirit started acting. People who had gifts of healing were healing people, and people who had the gifts of tongue were being interpreted, and prophecy was happening. And that's what it's talking about, signs and wonders. The apostles were operating in the gifts of the Spirit that we read about. And it's not just something that they read about. It was something that they experienced every single time they gathered. And it wasn't just the apostles. It was everybody. Because there's 12 apostles. When you read the Acts, the church spreads very quickly. They can't be everywhere all at once. In fact, for the most part, all the apostles were in one spot, except for Paul. You know, he's that one guy who's like, I'm out here. See you later. I got work to do. And he's going planting churches all over, at the time, the known world. But there were signs and there were wonders. And I just think of how many times I read about our missionaries and read about the churches that they have and what they're doing. And they're seeing the signs. They're seeing the wonders. And I wonder when the last time we saw the signs and wonders of the Holy Spirit in our church. And I long for that. I read in Paul in the 1 Corinthians how he talks about that he didn't want to come with persuasive words and good arguments, but he wanted to come with the power of God. Because if you ever experience the power of God, everything else just makes sense. If you ever experience the gifts at work or seen the gifts at work or just had that experience of the heaviness of God's presence entering a room, you just that seals it for you. You're like, yep, I'm in. There's something about the power of God. And this whole, and it says the early church just experienced it all the time. And the fourth thing I find was that everything they needed was found in the church. Everything that they needed was found in the community of the church. I just think of how many times if we are struggling with something, we go outside the church. If we need counseling, we go to a counselor. When we need to lift a financial burden, or we need to make a purchase, we go outside the church. We go to the bank, or we go to a loan shark. Hopefully not a loan shark, but you know, we go to someone who has lots of money, and they give us money, but it's always at high interest, and that we read in the Bible that we're supposed to give to those in need without interest. Interest, no interest. This should be an easy decision. And they said, they said everything they needed. Nobody had any needs. Because when you're part of a community that loves being together and they're always together, it's easy to be open about the things that we're struggling with. It's easy to be open about the things that we need help with. And when we are this community that is loving and forgiving and merciful and the embodiment of everything that Jesus was, it's easy to find our needs met here in the community. We shouldn't ever have to go outside the community. And that's what they're saying. They said that when it came to the needs, when people were struggling, when people needed something, they went to the church. They went to this group. They went to their family. Well, yeah, there's 5,000 people. Not in the beginning. Before this grand revival, there's 120 people. And they still found everything they needed. When Jesus was walking the earth, you never read that Jesus was hungry. You never read, or there's one time, and it led to, like, a lady getting saved, so you know there's one exception to that. But you didn't go days without food. You don't read that Jesus went a long time without water or anything. Jesus always had his needs met, and he's just him and his 12 buddies. And so I think of how the early church and a few odd churches along the way that figure it out, and how they just want to be together. They had this awe and this amazing. And I know that it's this awe and reverence of God that brought them together, because there was this expectation that God was doing something in my life and I had to tell somebody about it. And God was doing something in someone else's life and I wanted to hear about it. What's God doing in your life? What is God teaching you? How is he moving? What is the amazing thing he's doing in your life? Tell me, because I just love God and I want to hear more. Because this is what he's doing in my life. Oh, it's so exciting. And because of this, anyways, I don't need to rehash. Would you want to be a part of that church? As I read this, would you want to be a part of that church? Would you want to be a part of this church that wants to be together, that had all their needs met from the church, that saw the gifts of the Spirit, that saw things that at work, that had this reverential awe of God? Would you want to be a part of that church? Why or why not? Everyone online, post. Would you want to be a part of this church? As for me, absolutely. I want to be a part of that church. I want to be a part of a group of people that want to be together. And I want to bring my neighbors, and I want to bring my coworkers, and I want to bring people to that. Because if I want to be, then I want more people to want to be wanted and part and loved and accepted. And because we look around the world, and this is what everybody needs. We just want to be accepted. We just want to be a part of something, and we want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. And if the church is that, then that's going to be the other big thing that I notice in Acts 2 is that when we embody the things of Jesus, when we are loving and gracious and forgiving and merciful, and we just gain favor with people, because it's not that we're weird. We're just, we have what everybody wants. We want to be loved. We want to be forgiven. We want to be told that it doesn't matter how many mistakes I make, I'm still accepted. I'm still loved. I'm still a part of this. The church had favor with everyone around them. And so as we head into 2021 and as we get ready for the AGM, this is my little plug. What this morning's theme is open doors. We can't gather in each other's homes, and we can't do the food thing like they talk about here in Acts 2, but we can do it here. I'll put revolving doors in if it means that people are going to just be revolving, coming in, going out, sharing life, doing life together. If we got prayer meetings happening, but it doesn't have to be here. It doesn't have to be at the youth center. It doesn't have to be at the Redverse campus. We can do church and we can do these things. We can be together at Michael's or at Kazina's or at the Optimist, or we can do online prayer. But when we want to be together, The creativity that rests within each and every one of us will find a way to make it happen. You may, the world may say no in one way, but there are a lot of other ways that we can get together. There are a lot of other ways that we can be the church. But it starts with being open. And so kick open the doors. Kick open the doors of the youth center. Kick open the doors of the church of Carlisle campus and Redverse campus. Kick open the Jitsi door and bring all your friends together so you can pray together and share what God is doing. Kick open the doors. Find doors to open and take advantage of them and be the church together. And this afternoon we're going to talk about what does that look like for us as a church. How are we going to open the doors? Because when we are in this day where people need community, then we need to be the ones who offer the community that everyone so desperately wants. We can be that. We can be the place where people belong. We can be the place where people are forgiven and experience the God who has so radically changed our lives, who has come in and made all things new. You are a new creation, not because of anything you did, but everything that God did. Let's open the doors. Let's open doors we didn't think we could open. And if you need to learn how to use tech, I will teach you how to use the tech. If you need a key so you can get in and pray with people and do whatever, then I'll give you a key so you can get in. Whatever it needs to do, whatever it means to open the doors for you and do the things that God has called you to do and just be together, we will make it happen because we are still everything I said in September. We are a church that equips. And if I just have to open doors for you to be equipped, I'm going to open every door I can. We serve an open God. God calls us. And the reason that we talk about confession and testimony and being open about our lives and opening our hearts up, the reason that God calls us to openness is because nothing is hidden. You can't hide anything from God, so why would we hide things from each other? It's all going to get revealed in the end anyways. I read it. Jesus said it's going to happen. Everything that is hidden will be revealed. So you might as well get it out there now. And in the midst of creating open hearts and open doors and serving an open God, open life and open hearts, and serving an open God, let's open the doors. And let's not just do things we want to do things because we want to be together, but we're going to do things because we want people from our communities to be a part of it. We want our friends to be a part of it. We want our families to be a part of it. So let's open some doors. Let's create opportunities to be the church, to share what God is doing. Let's put away the small talk and get into the real talk. Let's get together and actually ask each other right square in the eye, what is God teaching you today? Not because we want to be that person that challenges, but because we actually want to know. What is God teaching you today? Because this is what he's teaching me, and I can't wait to tell you because it's awesome. Or it's tough, and I want you to be a part of the sharing the burden, because if he's doing it in my life, maybe he's doing it in your life, and we can be burdened together. We can be transformed together, and we can grow together. Let's pray. Bow with me. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that there are timeless principles that, yes, they are set in a culture that we maybe don't understand and set in a world that we just don't connect with, but there are principles that are timeless that just transcend time and transcend culture and applies to everyone always. And if you read about this early church, this group that just wanted to be together and wanted to praise you and had this awe and wonder of who you are and your power and your might and your love and your creative ability to create, make us new creations. God, help us, fill us with your awe. Fill us with awe of you. Fill us with reverence for you. Fill us. God, fill us with your Spirit. Move in our hearts, move in our lives, so that when you speak, we can't help but to share with somebody else. Create in us a desire to be together. Create in us a desire to worship together and to pray together and to study together, because it's not just about the people we're gathering with, because it's all about you and knowing you better and allowing you to speak to people. Help us, God, help us to be the church that opens every door we can, to create every opportunity to connect with our loved ones, to connect with our families, to connect with our neighbors. May we be a connecting church. May we be an equipping church. May we be a door-opening church. God, we love you. We know you got huge plans for each and every one of us in 2021, and we can't wait to unpack it further this afternoon. We give you all our praise and thanks. We love you, Jesus. In your name, Lord, amen.